podcast is sponsored by the valleygivesback.org.
For hundreds of years, we brought you the news.
All right, enough of that. We're busy. My name is Eugene Driscoll. Welcome to Navel Gazing, the Valley Indie podcast. My guest this week is Seymour First Selectman Kurt Miller. Mr. Miller, welcome back, first to the country, because you were away a little bit there, perfect time to get away, and to this broadcast. Hello, Kurt.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to spend some time with you, particularly on a snowy afternoon.
This is, I don't know what's going on in this world. I don't know what day it is. I've already failed and lost my temper as a temporary homeschool teacher with my kids. I don't know what's going on. So first of all, Kurt, you were away and then had to come back and self-quarantine. How did you make out? And I guess this is old news now, but you were on vacation when the stuff really hit the fan with the coronavirus.
So I was able to work with, you know, the staff and my deputy first selectwoman, and you know, we kind of put a plan in place to how we would handle anyone that travels. So I needed to lead by example. So I quarantined myself for 7 days. I was not in an area that had any coronavirus whatsoever, which was a good thing. But of course, I am now have the regular flu, not the coronavirus, but the old-fashioned traditional flu. So I'm going to spend another week working from home.
Okay.
So they moved my office from town hall to my dining room. So I'm able to work right out of the house.
There you go. Yeah, I'm in my basement. Welcome to my world. But I talked to an infectious disease doc at Griffin. It seems like 10 years ago, but it was last Saturday. And he was saying, hey, we got flu B going around big time. A lot of people are getting tested, and it turns out to be flu B. And I'm not in any way downplaying coronavirus, which is a serious public health threat and the reason all this is happening. So my second question, and then we're going to get right into the reader questions. I don't want to keep you on the phone anymore, any longer than I have to. But in terms of governing there, you've got your setup in your dining room. The town is still operating. I guess, how is that going, and what's the biggest challenge to presiding over Seymour in the middle of a global pandemic?
You know, knock on wood, we haven't had too many issues. You know, we have a very good team in place. Everybody kind of knows their roles and takes care of those things. We try to talk as often as we can via conference call. Just to make sure that everything is going as it should be, providing support to each other where it needs to be. So as of now, there's really no issues with regards to that. Now we're working on how we're going to handle our meetings starting in April. I know the governor in his executive orders has changed some of the restrictions to that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have a teleconference system in place for the foreseeable future to allow the major boards to meet. The biggest issue is how do you allow residents to be able to call in and listen without having the ability to talk, because we can't just have somebody just start screaming in the middle of the meeting or asking questions that will cause chaos. So we're working through those kinks, and we expect to have that all up and running for the beginning of April.
Yeah, I wish I had stock in Zoom, the video conference software service that everybody is using. But before we get to the reader questions, Kurt, I should just mention that this podcast is sponsored by valleygivesback.org. Love your local nonprofits and build a better community with a gift that costs you nothing today. Name a Valley nonprofit in your estate plan and create a legacy that tells future generations what mattered to you. With a planned gift, you have the power to impact the Valley forever without affecting your current lifestyle. Your action will inspire others to make a difference in their own way. Remember the Valley. Ask your accountant, financial planner, or attorney about planned giving options. Plan now, give later, impact tomorrow. Learn more at valleygivesback.org. Along those same lines, I just want to mention, Kurt, you're probably aware of this as well, the Valley Community Foundation and various other entities in the Valley have started the Valley Community COVID-19 Response and Recovery Fund. This is a way, if you want to help the nonprofits and all the groups that are affected by the COVID-19 and the shutdown that's happening of our economy as we speak, you can donate money. I'll just read the first paragraph. In response to COVID-19, the Valley Community Foundation, Valley United Way, Greater Valley Chamber of Commerce, and the Valley Health and Human Service Council have come together to establish the Valley Community COVID-19 Response and Recovery Fund, mission to rapidly deploy resources to organizations who support those in the area who are most significantly affected by the pandemic. If you go to valleyindy.org, look under Extra Extra, or on mobile, scroll down slightly. I'm keeping that front and center on the website. Kurt, I apologize. I should have gotten that out of the way before I called you, but those are some things that are happening. Okay, so let's go
I was going to bring that up because we have that on our website as well.
Oh, good. Okay,
so we're trying to assist the Valley Community Foundation in those efforts.
Yeah, and that money will be spent locally. It's a bunch of organizations with unparalleled track records and reputations here in the Valley. So you will be helping organizations and people if you donate to that fund. I am not afraid to personally endorse that. Cliff Stramello asked, I put something on my Facebook page, the Valley Indie Facebook page, about 4 hours ago. And the first question I actually hid, it was from Larry Dwyer, who always hosts Connecticut Cult Classics up there in Seymour. And he just asked you whether you could spare some toilet paper. Larry will be here all week.
I'm well stocked.
You are well stocked. Oh, I forgot to do. Hey, Larry, here's my response to that, Mr. Dwyer up there, if I can find it, is. So that's that. But anyway, I hid that question because I didn't want the whole thread to become that kind of stuff, Larry. It's nothing personal. But all right, so the first legitimate question was from Cliff Stramello, and he asked Kurt if he plans on suspending our budget votes. I am against doing that because from what I understand, one of the executive orders put out Friday or over the weekend says that towns don't have to hold a town meeting and don't necessarily have to hold a referendum on budget votes. Seymour is a town that has both the town meeting, even though no one shows up for it, and the referendum. So what's going on there, Kurt?
As of right now, everything is status quo. We do have some contingencies in place depending on how long this actually goes on. But as of today, the plan is still to have the referendum vote. It may get pushed out a little bit. But for right now, that's still the plan. Now, we do have a contingency plan in place that should this continue on past a certain point, that would go into play where the Board of Finance would vote and send a budget to the Board of Selectmen, who would vote, and then that's what would be the budget for fiscal year 21. But again, we're still a ways away from having to make that decision yet.
Okay. And then in terms of that backup plan you just mentioned, where the Board of Finance would vote, then send it to the Board of Selectmen for another vote, is that something you've been working on with CCM and the town attorney? Just quickly, how did you come up with that specific backup plan?
With CCM and the town attorney. CCM, the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities, has been fortunate enough to have a seat at the table with the governor's office. But a lot of these executive orders are coming out. We feel like we have an open line into the governor's office and that the governor and his staff have been listening to the concerns of the town. So that's one of the issues that we brought up. It was refreshing to see the governor respond in a way that gives us the ability to still act. The worst thing that we want to have is to go through what our charter says, which means we would send tax bills out at the current tax rate and then have to send supplemental bills. Right now, the increase, I believe, is about 0.15 overall based on where the Board of Finance is. So it'd be kind of a waste to send out a supplemental bill for the 0.15.
You'd have to keep your current budget in place. Is that what you're saying? And then you send out a bill later?
Correct.
Okay, gotcha.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, at that point, we would have the decision, do we try to cut a program or a service to keep it at 36? or to send out those supplemental bills. So this just gives the towns and cities a little bit more flexibility.
Okay.
But again, that's a decision we really don't have to make probably for another 6 weeks.
So you've got some time there.
We have plenty of time, yeah.
That's good to hear. And the fiscal year for people not in the, in the know, the new fiscal year begins July 1st. That's sort of the... there was some suggestion on my Facebook page. Well, just, you know, we can vote on the budget in November, but you need a decision before July 1st, right?
Oh, yeah. Actually, we need it probably by the middle of June at the very latest because we have to have tax bills printed and sent out.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. So,
and again, we're the federal, the state is kind of pushing out the payment of taxes. Towns and cities really can't do that. Because we're so reliant upon the property tax that a lot of towns will start to have cash flow problems if they don't get that influx of tax revenue in July. So again, gotcha. I preach all the time about the reasons why fund balance and these fundamentals are important. And this is the reason, because if, let's say, people are unable to pay taxes in July for whatever reason, towns with low fund balances or no fund balances are in trouble. Towns that have taken the time to put money aside can weather the storm a little bit better. So, again, this is the situation that proves why you have to be so diligent about making sure your core financials are strong.
Yeah, we don't know what, in terms of the economy and local jobs, what's going to happen over the next few weeks. Okay, the next question is from Jennifer Magri. She asks, will the town or school system address wages for hourly workers in the short term rather than force them to unemployment lines? And for my own edification, I'll admit my ignorance here. I haven't heard anything about layoffs in any of the towns. I thought since it's the budget and it's in place until July, there wouldn't be any layoffs at this point because the money's already there. But I'm an idiot. So explain to me what's happening in terms of hourly workers.
I'm not 100% sure. With regards, I can speak for the municipal side.
Sure. Okay, right.
We've made a commitment to all of our permanent employees, whether they're full-time or part-time, that their jobs will be there at least until the end of the fiscal year. The money had, to your point, the money has been budgeted. It's there. What'll happen after July 1st, I can't say with 100% certainty. I feel very confident that we won't be laying anyone off. Now, the folks that are, the lifeguards and the swim instructors and things like that for our rec department and community services, well, those folks aren't getting paid because those programs really aren't taking place.
Gotcha. Okay.
But that's a lot of, it's high school kids, college kids. There's some small businesses in there, but unfortunately, those payments are program driven. So if we're not bringing the money in, we don't have the money to be able to just to pay those folks. With regards to the Board of Education, I'm not aware of where they are with that. Obviously, the big push with Superintendent Wilson and his staff has been able to is to get all of the technology ready to start teaching the kids.
Yeah, and what an effort!
I'd have to follow back up on.
Just in terms of the superintendent and what the school districts are doing around the valley and around the state, I mean, what an effort they have in terms of logistics and just getting this all done. I'm very impressed. I mean, how would you assess the superintendent's performance thus far?
I think to your point, they've all done a fantastic job with very challenging circumstances. Just the logistics of getting a Chromebook to every kid in Seymour is not as easy as you would think, just the effort that our technology director, Rob Dyer, and his staff had to go through. But it's also to the teachers, the training that they had to go through to be able to provide this content, be able to, to teach their kids. I think it's been a great display of, public education around the area, of how well, how well they did.
Okay. Moving on. This one, I don't think you have an answer, but I did put some individual answers for ones that I thought I could help. I'm talking about questions on my Facebook page. But this is from Louis Bedini. Are there any plans to halt rent or utility payments for small businesses which are forced to close. He means outside of the small business disaster loan. And I put in, for anybody out there, the Connecticut Department of Economic and Community Development has a COVID-19 business emergency response unit. The phone number is 860-500-2333. I think if you have specific questions, if you own a small business and how COVID-19 is affecting you. But are these some issues, are these conversations that you're having as well? Obviously, you know, downtown Seymour is a nice place to do business and to go to local shops. What are you hearing? And is there anything the town can do to try to act as a conduit between the business owners and either state government or federal government? What's happening there?
Well, that goes back to what I had said earlier about, you know, being in contact with, you know, our state delegation and CCM having a seat at the table with the governor. You know, I don't have the authority to make those changes. That's something that needs to be done by either the state government or the federal government. So that the best way for something like that is to reach out to DECD, reach out to your state rep, Nicole Claire, to Dietrich, your state senators, folks like that, because they're the ones that would be able to have the most impact on that.
Okay.
I know it's a concern for a lot of businesses. There's a flip side to that. If you suspend a rent payment for a business, a lot of times the buildings are owned by businesses. So it's kind of a domino effect. So who do you backstop? That's a bit of a shame, because if you have a company that owns a building that's got five businesses in it, and you say for the five businesses, you don't have to pay any rent for the next 2 months. You now have a business that owns this building that has to make mortgage payments.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you address that small business?
What do you do?
So, I mean, it's a very big issue, a very complex issue. But I certainly feel for these small businesses and what they're going through. That's why it's important that, you know, you try to order out if you can. Try to get delivery. Try to help some of these businesses out. Make sure you're getting out quickly to these businesses and trying to buy goods and services from them. And these are the people that support us year-round. It's now our time to try to help support them and make sure they can stay afloat.
Yeah, absolutely. The next question is from Katie McDavid. I'm just going to read the first line because I don't think you have any... Well, I'm not going to answer the question for you. Why won't they give us more information regarding those testing positive? Have you heard any of the evident conversations about that on your level?
I've had some back and forth with some folks on social media regarding that. First off, obviously we can't give out any personal information on a person who tests positive if we're made aware of it. As of this morning, there were no people in Seymour who had tested positive to that. We have a very good communication with the Naugatuck Valley Health District. Jessica, their executive director, is readily accessible to all the mayors and first selectmen. So that's kind of where that is. So, I mean, that's a tough question to answer.
Yeah.
If I knew that someone had it, I would probably say, yes, there is a person in Seymour who had it, but that's all I would say, because it's not my place to give out any of that other information.
Right. Yeah. And if Katie's listening, if she sees this, the state has started to give out as of, I want to say Saturday morning, possibly Sunday morning, the State Department of Health has been giving out daily town by town counts of confirmed cases of COVID-19. So that information is actually reaching the public. One of my frustrations, just real quick, I was frustrated at first because everywhere around the state of Connecticut, this information was being released in Southern Fairfield County, in the Danbury area, New Fairfield, and the Valley. We had none of it. But it's nice to see that the state is giving it out at just town. I think it's okay just to have a town list. Now the question is whether do I want to update that list every single day or do you do it every couple of days? Because obviously you don't want people to overreact. But anyway, so Katie, that information is out there if you seek it. Next question is from Patricia Rimkunis. Not a town issue, but I wonder if we can get businesses like Stop and Shop Ocean State to post notice of deliveries in stock. people running out from store to store for items that may or not be in stock can't be healthy. That is one of the things that I'm concerned about personally is, we can't go out, social distance, stay in your house, but you got to go to the grocery store. I know we're not supposed to lick the cart, but it's a little disconcerting that we're all going to the grocery store. So have you heard anything or reached out? You have a major grocery store in your town. Have they done anything to say, hey, here's where we get deliveries? Anything happening on that front?
I think they're a little hesitant to do that because I actually think that would make the problem worse. Because if they say, hey, we're going to get a delivery at 6 o'clock tonight, that's when the delivery gets there. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's when it's going to hit the shelves. So, or if they say, okay, we're going to open at 9 o'clock and we're going to have toilet paper, there's going to be 500 people waiting to get toilet paper. So it's a bit of a challenge as to how you do that. I know that they are doing something for seniors where they're saying, okay, from 6 to 7, I believe every morning, that it's senior citizen only shopping to give them the opportunity to get in. Cause they're in that vulnerable class, giving them the opportunity to get in and get that. And this is something I've actually talked about over the last couple of days with Nicole and Themis about our first responders. It's the same thing. So how do we address their concerns? Because they're working some crazy hours these days. A lot of times by the time they get to the store, everything is gone. So what can we do to try to make things a little bit easier for these folks? And when I say first responders, I'm also talking about nurses, healthcare workers, doctors, people that have added stress and added hours because of what's going on. We haven't been able to come up with a really good solution. So if anybody out there has a good solution, if you can let one of us know, that would be great. It's something that we would look at and hopefully try to implement. And it could be something as simple as, waiving the fees for Peapod for any first responders or something like that. Mm.
One thing I just saw on Twitter, Matt Kaufman, former Hartford Current investigative reporter, suggested, he pointed out that Peapod is booked up for like the next 1,000 years. But he said maybe they can employ some of the Uber drivers and Lyft drivers that aren't working, expand the workforce that way. It'll be interesting to see what this does. I mean, I hope to God we get through this and come out okay on the other side in terms of our economy and health. It'll be interesting to see how this changes the way we do business in general. But the next question was from Siobhan Darcy, and she asked that question about, I'm a healthcare worker. When I get off my shift, there's no toilet paper or meat in for me to buy. And so you just answered that. I did tag a bunch of state reps in that. I know sometimes tagging people out of the blue can be annoying to people, but I didn't mean it to be obnoxious. I just thought it was a good question, and those are the people that might have the answers. I love this question because we can never, even in the middle of a pandemic, we have to know when a certain road is going to be paved, or any person's given road is going to be paved. And this question is from Jack Jerkowski. Now that the governor has released state bonding money, when will West Church Street and Bungay Road paving project be done?
Church Street and Bungay Road is part of the Lockstep program.
Lockstep.
We have Lockstep, L-O-T-C-I-P.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
That replaces the old transportation fund, federal transportation fund. We currently have two roads in that program. We have a Holbrook Road, which is expected to go out to bid probably in late spring now because of all this. It's obviously slowed that down a little bit. And then also West Church Street and Bungay Road. West Church Street and Bungay Road is slated for the summer of 2021.
All right, there you go, Jack.
That pool of money is different. That pool of money is different than the transportation funds that Jack's referring to. That's things like town road aid. That's more general road money. The town of Seymour gets about $400,000 a year from the state of Connecticut for road work.
Once this podcast episode publishes, I'm going to go back to this comment from Jack, hit reply, and tell him to fast forward to the 22-minute mark. Jack, that's your answer, Jack. All right, last question, and it's a repeat question, but we might as well end with it. Why not? It's from CL Dion. Very curious about the governor letting the towns handle the mill rates? So do you want to go through that just one more time and we'll call it a day, Kurt, in terms of the budget? You haven't made any decision yet. Let me see if Go ahead.
As I say, we haven't made a decision yet as to how it's going to be handled. Right now, we are continuing forward with our normal plan, which would be a public hearing, then a town meeting, and then the referendum votes. Should this outbreak continue and there needs to be social distancing and we can't have large groups of people together, at that point, probably in 6 weeks or so, we will look at a model where the Board of Finance and the Board of Selectmen would actually set the budget and establish the mill rate. But again, we're very far away from that right now.
And if you had, let's say, they come down today and they say, all right, Kurt, it's your decision. You have to set the mill rate right now. The one that you've considered is a small increase. Just repeat what's on the table in terms of mill rate right now.
The budget that I presented to the Board of Finance was 36.1, which is an increase of 0.1 mils. The Board of Finance, I believe, is at about 0.15 of an increase right now. But again, they haven't finished their full process yet. So if it came down to that, that would be the budget that I would ask the Board of Finance and the Board of Selectmen to approve.
And that just
36.1 mils.
So a less than one mill increase. That's what you're looking at. Less than one. Point, you said. Point one.
Less than 0.1. Point one. So for over a 5-year period, non-reevaluation period, the budget in the, the mill rate in the town of Seymour has increased 0.1 mills. There is no town in the area that can make that claim. So Seymour is far and above everyone else, including my dear friend, Mayor Loretti and Shell. So I think we have fared extremely well. That's why I would not feel, I never want the mill rate to increase. But we should make do with the money that we have. But, you know, in this situation, I would be okay with the 0.1.
Okay. Is there anything else you wanted to add, Mr. First Selectman Miller, that either I didn't ask or perhaps wasn't generated from the public? I guess in terms of when you get meetings back up and running, will that be posted to the town website as usual, do you see? And then anything else you wanted to add?
A couple things. One, you know, it has to do with people actually taking this outbreak serious. While many people are, there's still a lot of people who are not. And if you go to our parks and things on the weekends, and you go to Gary Park as an example, and you go up to, you know, the playground that we have, you'll see 15 or 20 kids all playing around on the playground. Their parents are all there standing next to each other. That doesn't help matters. We're doing everything that we can to try to keep the parks open. But if people can't police themselves, then we're going to have to do it for them. And that means shutting down the parks. Because, you know, people don't grasp the social distancing. They don't grasp that they shouldn't be together in groups of people. They're still doing it. And you can see that the problems are starting to grow and get worse. So again, I don't believe in government should be the babysitter of people and how they behave. But in a situation like this, sometimes the government has to step in and make these tough decisions. I'm holding off on doing that with parks. But if it continues, we will shut the parks down in the town of Seymour. Now, as you know, we have the... Oh, God, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, there was the one part of one of the executive orders, one of the many that Lamont sent out, and one of them was the town can't do more than I say, essentially. The town's regulations can't go above and beyond the state in terms of this COVID-19 emergency. Could you shut the parks if you wanted to, or would you have to get some kind of state agency to weigh in on that?
It's municipal property, so we don't need the state's approval.
Okay.
Like town hall, we don't have to get the governor's permission to set the hours of town hall to keep it open longer, shorter, any of that. That's all, those are municipal buildings. They're controlled by the town.
Okay. Good point. So, thank you for indulging my ignorance.
Oh, no, that's not a problem. which leads me into my next one is, you know, town hall is on a limited appointment only schedule. So every day, and I know you posted it out onto your, you have it out on the site and also out on your social media as well, is our goal is to have one department upstairs and one department downstairs that's in the building each day. And we're trying to have every department there twice a week. If you have some services that you need to pick up the phone in advance. You need to call the department and talk to the department head about what your needs are, and they will work out some type of arrangement with you. Showing up at town hall and screaming and yelling at the person who is working the front door is not going to help you in any way whatsoever.
I'm sorry. So I didn't mean to do that.
Well, that's, I mean, you will give a pass to maybe.
No, I'm not leaving my house.
We've had, unfortunately, some residents that have done that.
Okay.
That have shown up, that basically banging on the door saying, let me in, I need to do X, Y, and Z. And that department is not even in the building that day.
Okay.
So all of our department heads are accessible via phone. They're all accessible via email because they have those capabilities in their in their homes. So people need to reach out, make that phone call, and then they'll make arrangements for you. You know, if it comes to paying taxes, you can pay via telephone, you can pay online, or you can call the tax collector and set up a time where you can come in and make that payment. But again, it's appointment only. So when you get to the front door, you can say, okay, I'm Eugene Driscoll. I'm here to see the tax collector. She told me to come at 10 o'clock. The person's going to look at the list. So Eugene Driscoll, 10 o'clock, tax collector, go ahead. Let you into the building. But again, we're limiting how many people are in the building at one time.
And then on the post that I put a general number for the town hall that I grabbed off the bottom of the website. Should people be calling that number, or you're saying look up the individual department head number? What should people be doing? What's the easiest way?
They can do either or. You can go to the website. You pull down, let's just say, tax collector. There's the direct number to the tax collector, or if you dial the number you have, the 888-2511 number, mm-hmm. It gives you the telephone prompt.
Okay.
And then you can just push, two for tax collector. It's the same thing.
Okay, great.
So if Dana or Sue are, if it's their day to be there, obviously they only answer the phone. If it's not their day to be there, then you'll get a voicemail. You leave the message and they will call you right back. My line is staffed every day. So the first selectman's office.
Okay.
So if people have questions, they can call that. I mean, you will get more than likely get a voicemail simply because the volume of calls that are coming in. Mm-hmm. We have two people answering the phone. They just can't keep up with the volume sometimes. But we're trying to get back to everybody within an hour or so from the time they leave a message. But again, calling my office to ask a question about taxes or how you pay your taxes or some function of the town clerk's office is simply wasting time for yourself, because we're going to call you back and say you need to call the tax collector, you need to call the town clerk. So, gear your, whatever your business is, call that department directly and they will walk you through whatever it is. Some of it can be done online. They'll walk you through the process right online. You can take care of it. If it's something that you have to come in to do, they'll schedule the time and you can go ahead and do that. And every town hall and city hall in Connecticut just about is working with that exact same process.
All right. Good to know. I'll try to write that up. No. Yeah. And I'll write that. It's deep into the podcast, but I'll put that in story form as well to try to get the message out there more. So, all right, Mr. Miller, I hope you feel better.
Yeah, well, this is the end of my day, so I'm now going back to go to bed.
Yeah, take a nap, all right? Hey, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me, though. I really do appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. If you need anything else, just give me a holler and let me know.
All right, take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
For hundreds of years, we brought you the news. Gave you the clues. Owners' profits were always sky high. Changing market now threatens our lives.